Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, this guy's had a miserable baseball season, even though he's our go-to football guy. Of course, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. And JLC is back in the house. Been a while, JLC. What's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. Back from the beach, back from vacation. And believe it or not, Ravens are on the field, full-blown training camp, veterans and everything, on Thursday morning.
Wow.
So it's here, man. I'll be out there checking out the first couple days of Lamar versus Joe Flacco and everything else, and then on to Philadelphia and heading west from there.
I love it. By the way, you don't think it's an open competition from day one, do you, between the quarterbacks?
No, it's Joe Flacco's job. All but, right. What the preseason games will determine is just how much volume Lamar Jackson is capable of, and that, you know, the Lamar Jackson segment of the playbook, you know, how quickly can it expand, and how ready does he look to be able to do multiple things on the field, not to replace Flacco,
yep,
but to sort of buttress that overall offense as a short yardage quarterback, as a goal line RPO guy, as a third and long weapon. Who is he running? Is he throwing? What's he doing with it? It's a matter of he's going to see the field, and this will be a portal into how much he sees the field.
Okay, you know what I want to ask you here, Jay? You know, I just did a segment before on why it really feels, you know, outside of McCoy for sure, and who knows what the real deal is with that. We'll get the answer eventually. And a couple of stars obviously wanting contracts that they haven't gotten yet. But for the first time in probably 2 years, between the concussions and Deflategate, Zeke Elliott, the protest, it seems like the focus is back on football. You feeling the same thing?
I think it's been an off season without, I guess, one of those scandals. There's no Bounty Gate hanging over it. There's no Deflategate, as you mentioned. There's no, there's no concussion settlement. Now, certainly the whole, I don't want to call it a protest because it's not a protest, you know, the whole taking a knee during the national anthem thing, obviously I think that was an unforced error. That became a major talking point because at that May meeting the owners decided to, you know, go there and alter the language and kind of reinsert that into the whole national discussion. Not that it's ever gone away, but it seems like they put it back on the front burner. But I'm with you, even that seems to have died down a little bit. I think because there's been, you got guys like Manny Machado who are about to be traded. You had LeBron James trade teams. You know, I think there's been some other stuff going on in other sports that have resonated maybe more than normal as well. You know, the Williams sisters and Serena getting as far as she did, you know, that close to giving birth. I think there's been, you know, Ovechkin finally gets his cup.
Yeah.
Not that those sports compete with the NFL, you know, BT at that macro level, but I think it's kind of made it a little bit, the downtime in the NFL has actually felt more like a downtime than it normally does.
Yeah,
it's
funny because I had the same observation. So did Jason Lockenfora, of course, JLC with the CR Tiki and Tierney. And, you know, I follow you on Twitter. Of course, I always read you on CBSSportsTalk.com. You're always on the show. You're a good friend at this point. I've known you for a while. And you're always working, man. I mean, you are always following a story. And I felt like, you know, this year, certainly with the NBA, and even last year, and it's been maybe a two or three-year movement, that the NBA beat writers, like, they're now experiencing what the NFL writers have. Like, it's kind of like, not that the NBA is the NFL, it's not. But in terms of coverage, the NBA is kind of cut into a little bit of the coverage pie of the NFL, if you will. And I don't think that that's just an anomaly. I think the free agency is a huge thing.
Because guys actually have changed teams.
Yep.
Like, when
guys
the last
we care
time
about
a
too.
Player the equivalent of LeBron James or Kevin Durant changed teams, in Durant's case in their prime, in LeBron's case, what, twice in his prime and now once, maybe no longer his prime, but still as a top five player in the game. Like, it's just a, you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk franchise tags at some point, but I think that has a lot to do with it. The guys who hit the market in NFL free agency now are mostly, you know, B-minus to B players who get paid like A players because the A players never hit the market, right?
Exactly.
That's just the reality. We'll see what the next collective bargaining agreement holds, but everybody's always talking about fully guaranteed contracts and will the PA make a stand there and will that be, you know, the issue that gets guys to go on strike or have long, you know, a long labor stoppage. And I'm like, they're never going to get that. But what they should find a way to do is at least curtail the use of the franchise tag because that keeps the cream of the crop from hitting the market when they, you know, when they otherwise would have, and that keeps guys who would truly blow the top off of spending from being able to negotiate with all 30 teams at once in their prime.
Yep, yep. You know, I want to bring up Saquon Barkley, and not get into his skill set, which by all accounts is immense, there's no doubt. But I want to parallel it to Le'Veon Bell. And I made the point yesterday to Tiki, who's obviously off today, Jay. I said, you know, the Steelers, even if Barkley is what everybody thinks he's going to be, it's going to be hard for him to match what Le'Veon Bell does. 85 catches, I mean, his production is off the charts. So if that's the case, you know, if Le'Veon Bell at age 26, if the Steelers don't want to pay him the money that he wants, then wouldn't you think that that equation or that model of business would or should dissuade NFL teams from ever drafting a running back that high? Because you don't want to pay him that second contract. Why would you draft him second?
Well, I would say they're willing to give him 15 a year, which is a jump change.
No, I know, but you know.
And he's going to make 27 over two, so he's going to average 13.5 and then get to hit the market at 27, right? He turns 27, I think, February 12th, right around the Super Bowl. So he's still going to end up making a lot of money, and you know, what that means for Todd Gurley and you know, David Johnson remains to be seen. Those guys were rooting for Bell to sign something long-term that they could negotiate off of. But and the Steelers wouldn't do it, and the Steelers have Antonio Brown and Juju, and they're going to have to pay Ben one more time, and the Steelers draft skill players better than, you know, arguably as well, they're better than anybody in the league. But just because they won't do it doesn't mean nobody will do it. And if Le'Veon Bell has another Le'Veon Bell season where he looks like one of the best slot receivers in the league and one of the best running backs in the league, then the Jets or somebody are going to do it.
I'll tell you, it's funny.
It takes one team to give him, you know, 16.5 a year over 4 years with $35 million guaranteed. It only takes one team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's been thrown around locally on the New York airwaves. Obviously, Darnold eventually is going to play, and they've got a lot of cap room. You know what I said to Tiki yesterday? I said, you know, if I'm a running back, like if I'm a superstar running back coming out of school and I'm like a top 10 pick, I'm going to tell every team, don't draft me as a running back because I'm not playing running back. I'm playing slot. And so if you can't, if they won't change the economic model, I'm going to change it for them by force.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've mentioned this months ago when it went down. When Jarvis Landry, who is a nice player, but is not a difference maker.
Not a touchdown guy.
And he's a slot guy who averages 8.5, 9 yards a carry.
Uh-huh.
Which running backs, Le'Veon Bell averages 8.5 a reception, and he's doing it out of the backfield. When that guy gets 16 a year, then that's when the agents for, you know, David Johnson and Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell start talking amongst themselves saying, well, wait a minute, if he's 16, then so are we. Right? Like, eventually, that's what we should be. We can catch as many balls, and we can do it for a better yak, and we can be the quarterback's, the guy who saves the quarterback's neck on third down and against the jailhouse blitz because, you know, we all give up our bodies and chip people. So we're part offensive lineman, we're part receiver, and we also can win for you on first, second, and third down with the ball in our hands as a running back. And at some point, I think someone will recognize that, just like eventually Cousins got the fully guaranteed 3 years. And then once they do, it'll be a precedent that I think it's not going to help everybody because we're still talking unicorns here, right? I mean, there's not that many of those guys. But for those guys, those best-of-breed, versatile backs, I think they will raise the bar, and maybe that will then force people to look at them as, you know, total offensive weapons versus the old school running back where you and I are growing up and you think running back, you know, you're thinking Earl Campbell or something like that.
Yeah, 30 carries a Sunday. No, I got you.
Yeah.
Jason Lock and Ford with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, of course, JLC, CBS Sports NFL Insider. All right, Jay, I got a couple of quick hit and runs for you. Don't think too hard, put you on the spot, pretty easy stuff, but I'm curious where JLC's head is at right now. You ready? All right, which head coach has the most pressure entering the season?
Adam Gase popped into my head. Hugh Jackson, obviously.
What about Jay Gruden?
Jay Gruden and Jason Garrett. I mean, those are the guys that those guys percolate immediately if you want to suss one out from the other and make the case for who has the most to lose or gain. But I would say those are guys who immediately popped to mind as maybe have to show a little something.
First rookie quarterback to start.
To start, I'll say Rosen.
Okay, I would agree with that. Most overhyped team on paper coming into the season.
I think the Rams, are a good team, but mm-hmm. It just seems like people out there are already assuming like they're going to win that division and host some home playoff games.
I know.
I just don't know that it's going to be that easy.
Their schedule's tough. And finally, yeah. Jay, most overlooked team on paper coming into the season.
Overlooked. I am, and I know this has started to percolate a little bit, I do think the Chargers may actually do something.
I love them. I just said I think they can get to the Super Bowl. They have the weapons.
I just kind of feel like if they cannot be their own worst enemy, if they get a kicker, right? If they could finish games, if they have a kicker, and if the coach learns from his early mistakes last year and is as good as the talent on that team, or if the coach is even close to as good as the talent on that team,
mm-hmm.
I think the way that division lines up and the AFC all around.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that football stadium hosting the AFC Championship? I mean, that football stadium. Football isn't football.
Yeah,
the World
you.
Cup. Could you imagine 20,000-seater for the AFC Championship game?
Hey, listen, everybody's got a good spot. They'll remember it well. Before you go, only because we're pinched, not because I want to let you go, but we got to get running here with the hard breaks for the network. I know you just tweeted something on Aaron Donald. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing from guys he's been working out with that he's telling them, you know, I think my days here are dwindling. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be out in L.A. A week from now. So, and look, and if the Rams don't do that, if they actually paid Brandon Cooks and don't get Aaron Donald done before camp starts, then shame on them.
No doubt. So you're back on tops this year?
Unless you know something I don't, I hope.
Nice. So I'll be seeing you soon, brother. Looking forward to
good,
it again.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you, Jay.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.